stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome back to Administrative Static, and we're joined by our colleague Peggy Little to discuss a little different type of litigation, which is an appeal of a petition to the Ninth Circuit. So, Peggy, thanks for being here. What is a petition?
Well, it's a way that if you have filed a petition, as we did in 2018, with an administrative agency asking for some sort of relief, and in this case, it concerns the SEC's gag rule, once they deny that petition, you have a right to go directly to a circuit court of appeals to review that decision and get a judicial assessment of the merits.
Now, let's break that down a little bit. You said you filed a petition in 2018. It is now 2024. So what did you ask for in the petition? And then when did the SEC say anything about it?
We ask for relief in 2018 on a whole variety of issues. In fact, every issue we've ever raised about the gag. They sat on that for 5.25 years. They were called out for that by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal, and I think that that got through.
This was in another case of ours.
In another case of ours, yes. And then in December of 2023, we renewed that petition. And we added clients of ours that have been affected by the gag and who have standing to appeal the SEC's denial of the petition. We were certain they would deny the petition because they have fought it tooth and nail throughout every proceeding.
They don't usually sit on things for 5 years and then grant them. That's not usually
well,
the way these things
work. The concern was that they would sit on it forever and do essentially what is known as a pocket veto, which is a denial of your constitutional right of petition. And we were prepared to duke that out in the courts, but I think they knew that was coming, and so they just denied the petition. In that denial, we got an excellent dissent from SEC Commissioner Hester Peirce that sets forth all kinds of reasons why we should have gotten the relief we asked for. And she points out some interesting new factors, for example, that when you settle a case with the FTC, not only are you not gagged, you're permitted to make certain specific denials if they had gotten something wrong, so you can clean up your record. That process is not even possible at the SEC. And so I think we are getting more and more enlightened attention to this rule and the varieties of problems that it presents, and we are very excited to have 9 individuals and 2 press organizations join us in this challenge at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
And I think our listeners will know some of these folks. You've got, I won't name them all, but you've got Barry Romerill, you've got Chris Novinger, you've got Ray Lucia, all of whom have had pretty famous cases in fighting the SEC.
Actually, every one of these new petitioners, some of them new, some of them have been involved in prior litigation, has a very important reason why they need this relief. In Ray Lucia's case, and he's also a party to a proceeding in the Southern District of Texas, there is the possibility that the SEC had a control deficiency problem in his case, and we cannot get that through FOIA. And so we are hopeful that this will help open up the discourse about what happened in his case.
Okay. And that's the release of material to the ALJ that there was a mixing between the ALJ and basically the prosecutor here.
Yeah, the prosecutor.
Unbeknownst to the defense.
Right.
So because
the enforcement side of the House got onto the computer system of the adjudicatory side of the House and was reading essentially the judge's bench memos or homework, or right. at least they downloaded it and brought it over to the enforcement right. side. And you can't prove based on what we know so far that they read it, but why would you download it and bring it over to the enforcement side?
Or yeah. why would you dismiss 42 appeals claiming that was the reason yeah. For the dismissal?
To avoid further investigation.
And I was just pointing out control deficiency is a very bloodless term. That's
why they picked it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but then you've also, the petition's also joined by the Reason Foundation and the Cape Gazette. What's their interest?
Well, both have reported on the gag in different ways. Reason Magazine has been writing articles about the SEC gag and the various legal challenges to that. So they have an institutional and reporting interest in this. The Cape Gazette reported on one of our clients' initial charges. This is Cassandra Torian. And when the SEC issued its first press release, needless to say, it was very damaging, very inflammatory, as they very often are. And Cassandra wants to talk about her case. And sure enough, when the SEC released a press release saying that she had settled, the Cape Gazette called Cassandra up and said, well, what's your side of the story? And she said, sorry, here's the gag provision. I can't talk about it. And so they reported that. And the Cape Gazette wants to report on her case, not after she's dead, which it was right now, you know, when they might be able to get some truth out of the thing, but they want to report on that now. So we think that the press interest has a very compelling, urgent need for that gag to be lifted, and we hope to bring that interest before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, as well as the individual interests.
So when the petition's denied, then you do a petition to the Ninth Circuit, and then what does the Ninth Circuit do with it? Do they just rule on the law? Can they change the SEC rule? What happens?
Well, we're looking to have the gag portion of the rule vacated, and we had some good reporting on this recently, including today. We are not seeking to take away people's ability to neither admit nor deny allegations. The thing that we're trying to take out of the gag rule is that they cannot criticize the agency after settlement. And that is what we want the court to amend, so that people can, like in the case of the FTC, either admit or deny, or neither admit nor deny. And that's all the rule should say.
And the neither admit, I do a number of FTC cases, it says neither admit or deny the allegations in the complaint.
Right.
You can say that you didn't get a warning letter. You can say a lot of things surrounding it that was unfair to you, but you just can't deny the actual allegations.
And you can say things like, I ran out of money.
Right.
I settled this case because I could no longer afford to defend it. One of the people who have supported us, Nelson Obis, has an article in the Wall Street Journal called $12 million and 12 years later, he gets exonerated by a jury. That is the price.
Another 12, maybe.
Yes, yeah. That was in 2000, the early 2000s. So, I mean, the price is much, much higher. And one of the things we hope to be able to bring to the court's attention is something that Justice Gorsuch said, which is the agency's ability to outlast and outspend its targets allows it to secure things in settlement that it could never win in litigation.
Right. Michael Milliken can discuss his case all he wants because he was convicted after a long trial and everything, and he's got some things knick-knacked, and he's tried to vindicate himself all these years later, saying, look, I was doing this, this, and this, and he's allowed to talk about it. So even if you violate the SEC law, and you're found guilty, you can talk all the long day.
One of the things we've actually brought to the court's attention is a hot link to CNBC's Squawk Box, where a gentleman named Raj Rajanatram says, while I respect the jury, they got it wrong, and the SEC got it wrong, and here's why. And he's able to say that even though he went to prison for these charges. And the thing he closes with at the end is so moving. He says, nonetheless, I'm so happy to be a new American and to be in this country because in this country, you can speak freely about your charges.
And Bankman-Fried can, right? He can go on. He can say
for 25 years.
For 25 years, he can be issuing press releases. And our guys, it's really an amazing
thing. From the
Huskow. Right, exactly. Right. It's really an amazing thing. Well, so, what's the timeline?
Can I just ask one question that I get a lot about? Even in the brief time since this was filed, which is why the Ninth Circuit? Like, you guys don't pick the Ninth Circuit very often. Why would you choose the Ninth Circuit when you could go to any court of appeals, really, to bring this?
This is a free speech issue, and we have gotten support from professors of First Amendment law who have written eloquent briefs in our support. Plus, the Ninth Circuit has two very good precedents for us on unconstitutional conditions. One was a county had required someone as a term of settlement to not criticize the county commissioner in the future, and that was held to be an unconstitutional condition. And another case at the Ninth Circuit said that someone had to surrender their right to run for public office in the future as a condition of settlement with the government. That also was held to be unconstitutional. So we think we are well situated in that circuit, both in terms of its own precedents and the fact that this is just not a left and right issue. This is something that anyone schooled in the First Amendment should care about, and it's not a politicized issue, in my view.
And the Ninth Circuit is second only to the Second Circuit in terms of the number of financial sorts of cases that make it up to the Court of Appeals. So it's a kind of a natural place in that sense, too,
that
they see some of these cases.
And they're also going to be, I think, surprised that no other agency does this except maybe commodities. But, like, there's tons of agencies. They see tons of cases settle in front of them. I think it's going to be – the facts are going to be very compelling.
That you mentioned one of the most compelling that we argue. These other agencies seem to be able to robustly regulate Americans without gagging them in the settlement process.
All right. So we only have 10 seconds left. What's the next step? What are we waiting for?
This gets briefed this summer. And we have a number of good amicus briefs lined up, and we are hoping to have a swift hearing.
Good luck.